Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. 86, Jason Smith. Well, is that like an old school reference too? I mean, I guess many people won't say it. Okay, it's like an old restaurant thing. 86, you want it without.
Well, that's Jason's why on Get Smart, Max Smart was Agent 86.
That's right. Get him out. So Steve DeSager and I get a chance to hang out for the next 59 minutes with you. This segment, we're going to dive into the biggest stories from yesterday. Todd Furman's coming up in our next segment. DeSager's got a big update at the bottom of the hour. And then I was reading up on this story out of USC that Scott Wolf has that continues to blow my mind, that somehow they had a football imposter, a homeless man, who had actually not only lived inside the football facility, but had actually shared a jacuzzi at the McKay Center with other football players, ate with the team at a dining facility without issue, also had slept for some time in a suite in the Coliseum. He was known to USC security because he was caught at the soccer field on 30th Street in Hoover and apparently only got busted whenever he tried to field punts.
And by the way, the Coliseum is essentially across the street from the USC campus, in case you were wondering.
You know what? There was a part of me that was trying to figure out the kind of geography of that. So thank you, Steve. I was like, wait, isn't that
it is walkable.
Much closer?
I have often parked at USC and then walked to the Coliseum for a game.
So tonight we had a no-hitter. And I'm going to get to Joe Musgrove coming up in just a bit because it's probably more significant than most because it was the first ever no-hitter in Padres history. So now all 30 Major League Baseball teams have a no-hitter in their history.
And
in some
even
way, shape,
some teams, Chris, that don't exist anymore, I'm sure.
This is true. This is true.
And leagues that don't exist anymore. But the Padres still hadn't in their first 50 years.
Finally, they get it earlier tonight. So we'll get to Joe Musgrove coming up here in just a bit. But I feel like during the previous 3 hours of the show, we came out hot with a lot of NFL talk and a lot on Deshaun Watson. And Daniel Luss joined us. And if you missed it, it's available on the podcast page. It's well worth your time. It's a phenomenal conversation with an incredibly intelligent, bright, legal mind who can help us understand some of the legal ease that took place earlier today when Deshaun Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, met with the media for the first time. He was, I don't really know if he was, yeah, he was asked. He was asked, he did some Q&A with the media that was assembled there. How do they respond to some of the claims that have been made? Here's what Watson's attorney said. Which, by the way, I did want to add to this before we actually play it. I want you guys to try to figure out who Rusty Hardin sounds like.
Okay.
That's my challenge to you. Here we go.
We don't know what happened for sure. How in the world are we supposed to respond when we don't know the names of the people? And I've seen some talking heads that say, well, I can find out who did it, right? I mean, they just go look and they match up dates and try to figure out. That's not what it's supposed to be about. We're not supposed to have to guess who is accusing us of doing something wrong.
Okay, the high voice part sounded like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I'll buy that little Curly Horowitz to it. What do we have? Sam Little Ronald Reagan
to
that?
I thought there was a little dash
Reagan.
Of Reagan in there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some actor, too, from – I know Ronald Reagan was an actor, but some actor from, like, the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
I've got two more cuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can continue to kind of think about it here because I'm still trying to process it as well. Asked to say, okay, what's down the road – what's kind of next for Deshaun Watson and what was wrong with the way that he conducted his business?
Millennials live on Instagram. Those of you who are millennials know that. Those of you who are not have probably discovered it long before I. They do business on it. Deshaun lives on Instagram. He does business transactions on Instagram. Other people do. I'm discovering a much more prevalent use of it than I had any idea.
So, I guess Rusty Hardin is among that group that is kind of surprised by social media. Oh, they do so much on there. But he did hit on this, which I think is going to be kind of key in this whole process. And I think what they're trying to do from the perspective of defending Deshaun Watson in this process.
Deshaun is not for one moment arguing about what this has cost him money-wise and all. Y'all have talked about some of the endorsements being withdrawn or suspended because companies understandably don't know whether they want to be associated with him. We're not even addressing that. People can make money back up if they lose money. What they can't get back is their reputation.
All right, so here we go. I mean, Steve, like we've said a lot of times tonight, we had an attorney on to help us better understand it, and I'm still confused about what might be next outside of understanding who these victims are and what's the NFL's next move. Sponsors have left. Criminal charges are at least being thought about if they're brought. And if they are brought, that means the DA is very confident that they can win. I mean, the NFL has to act, right?
Well, and the NFL at least had that statement where they said the allegations are deeply disturbing. We take the issues very seriously. If you're the league, don't you wait to this to play out. I know we've seen in the past the NFL doesn't necessarily have to wait for everything to play out, but there's a lot to play out and many moving parts with this. So as people have mentioned, maybe the suspension is the easiest first, and as far as long-term future, we won't find that out for a long while.
No, you're right. We got a ways to go before we figure out whether or not we're going to have a situation that Deshaun ends up on the commissioner's exempt list or not. I'll save you any talk about Juju Smith-Schuster and the Chiefs until later. I'll save you some draft talk until later. Let's get to the history of tonight and that magical moment courtesy of the San Diego Padres Radio Network.
No balls in one strike. The big right-hander ready and delivers. Swing and a ground ball to shortstop. Kim has it. Friendly hop. Throw to first. That is a no-hitter, and that is history. Joe Musgrove with the first no-hitter in Padre history. April 9th, 2021 at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. The kid comes home and he gets it done.
Now, to be clear, when he says the kid comes home, Steve, it's not as if he's from Texas. So whenever they did it in Texas, that's not what he's talking about. This is a San Diego guy, and you're familiar with his alma mater, right?
That is correct. Grossmont High School, which is completely drivable 10 minutes maybe from the Padres' old stadium in Mission Valley, you know, where the Chargers used to play, the place that they're in the last few months literally tearing apart instead of imploding. But that Qualcomm Stadium doesn't exist anymore. But he would have lived very near that, I say within 10 minutes drive of that, going to Grossmont High School. As far as famous people from Grossmont High School in history,
I like this.
I have narrowed it down to three. Frank Zappa in music. There's also Brian Sipe, who you should remember.
Oh, yeah,
because
former Browns quarterback.
Yeah, he went to Grossmont High and then San Diego State and then drafted into the NFL. And remember, he was a Browns playoff quarterback when the Raiders in their Super Bowl year with Jim Plunkett beat the Browns in Cleveland with a late interception, a really cold game, and Sipe had an awful game in the cold. Brian Sipe had a long NFL career. He went to the same high school. And also the only Rose Bowl MVP ever from Arizona State, Jeff Van Raphorst, went to Grossmont High School. And now you can add to the list the guy who pitched the first no-hitter in Padres history, Joe Musgrove, who had been with Pittsburgh, acquired from the Pirates in the offseason, and in a franchise who had no no-hitters in their first 50 years. The only major league team still to have a goose egg in that department. They got Musgrove's 3-0 win at Texas tonight.
Brian Sipe. Red right 88. It was like -6 that day in Cleveland whenever the Raiders won that game. Thank you,
Mike
Brian
Davis Sipe. With the pick.
Let's see. Here's the best story about Joe Musgrove from tonight. And in fact, I'll give Justin credit. He had sent this to me earlier, and we were waiting for the right time to bring it to you. And if I listen to the promos here on Fox Sports Radio, the nighttime is the right time, right? So here's Joe Musgrove on what was the, I guess you could say, one thing he did from a superstitious perspective that ended up affecting him tonight.
I kept it as normal as I could throughout the game. You know, I'm not very superstitious. I have routines for sure, but, you know, I always have one of my little superstitions, I guess, or part of my routine is, I drink a lot of water, one. I think I went through 11 or 12 water bottles tonight, and I always keep them empty ones next to me so I can kind of keep track of how many I'm drinking throughout the game. And I had to piss so bad in, like, the fourth or fifth inning that I couldn't. That was the one thing I didn't want to break, like, the superstition of it. Didn't want me to have to go, you know, use a bathroom in the middle of the start.
If it wasn't a Zoom press conference, you would have heard a lot of media chuckles in the background after a certain sentence there. TMI, I mean, buddy.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I'm a big water drinker. I really am. And I think
we should all be more water drinkers, honestly.
Health tip, yes. Drink more water. My problem is, as I get older, more water means more bathroom breaks and more than probably normal.
Yeah, so, and when you're throwing 112 pitches, sure.
Right. So kudos to Joe for being able to hold that in, because if I'd had like 13, 14 bottles of water for nine innings, I would have been the first thing. After I threw the no-no and got a hug, I'm racing to the bathroom. He didn't. He did all the interviews necessary. Oh, gosh, it would have been a race. Here's what he said about San Diego.
The city of San Diego has shown me so much love, even before I came to the Padres. Just, you know, a San Diego kid that made it to the big leagues. You know, so it feels even better to be able to do it in a Padres uniform and selfishly be able to do it for my city and have everyone know that the kid from Grossmont High threw the first no-hitter.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then one more about just it being a special win for not just his family, not just for his, I guess, circle, but also the Padres too.
Yeah, I mean, this is a special win for us. It's really special for me. I've gotten an insane amount of support since I came over to San Diego. I mean, even before I came here, I had a ton of support. But ever since I came to the hometown team, it feels special because now they can actually root for a guy they like and a team they like. So I want to thank everyone for the support. It's been nothing but positive. And my family, you know, they've made it a real easy transition for me and taken a lot of pressure off me. So I know they're watching. I love you guys.
History, man.
And
history.
Don't underestimate what this means to the San Diego market. For starters, they don't have NFL there anymore, and they haven't had NBA in 50 years, and of course, no NHL there ever. So they have the Padres and Mountain West Athletics in college. That's San Diego, and some minor league teams that come and go. They've had the Padres for just over 50 years now, and it took the Padres 10 to 15 years to, I think it was 10 full years to even get their first winning record, and then 15 years to even make the postseason. And until last year, they had gone about 15 years without making the postseason. Now they have not just a real team, and quite frankly, two, 3 years ago, it was a lot of AAA players on the Padre roster. They have... They had the number two team to the Dodgers last year. Let's be honest. Look at the records. And they happened to, because they were a wild card team, they happened to have to face the Dodgers before the National League Championship Series. And it would have been a longer than three-game series if Cody Bellinger hadn't reached over the center field wall to rob Tatis of a homer. But they have signed long-term contracts to these guys. They've attracted free agents. They've added to the pitching, Musgrove included. There is so much promise with this team and so many hopes from people in San Diego that are properly pinned on this team. As far as San Diego sports history, keep in mind the context. I remember when I went with a guy to see San Diego State in the Sweet 16 one year, I said, if the Aztecs win this game, it will be one of the top 10 sports nights in the history of San Diego, California. And he kind of looked at me askew, and I said, what I'm saying to you, think about it. They don't have the other sports. And as far as baseball, there have been precious few superb Padre moments. I mean, Steve Garvey in the playoffs comes to mind, and they did make a World Series before getting swept by the Yankees about 20 years ago. But they haven't had a lot to fill up a top 10. You know, forget the whole Mount Rushmore on this list. It's very few great moments of greatness. And for the last team in the majors to finally throw a no-hitter, and it comes from a San Diego guy on a team that they think is going places, this is great.
Pretty incredible stuff. And you mentioned it. Joe Musgrove comes in. You would think it would be Blake Snell, right? You would think it would be Yu Darvish that we talk about breaking that streak. But pretty cool to see it's the San Diego
They
native.
Think this now, can be a title team. I mean, you talk about Cleveland going a long way before LeBron got Cleveland a title. When's the last time San Diego, California had a champion? The answer is the AFL 1963 Chargers. 63 Chargers said San Diego had a title. I don't mean winning the National League. I mean world champs. It's been a long time.
Congratulations. Big night. Very cool moment. Fun to be on the air for it. First ever no-hitter in Padres history.
Apparently, we have limited capacity with our studio audience.
That's right. That's right. They're not at peak form this evening, almost, but at least they're celebrating.
That was almost the sound of one hand clapping.
Hey, Todd Furman is coming up next. I'll give you some highlights from Dodger Stadium and some NBA games coming up. We'll do that. But first, I want to remind you, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak around the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Todd Furman is next with Steve DeSager. I'm Chris Plank on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, let's go to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas. With Steve DeSager tonight, I'm Chris Plank, sitting in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. And we're blessed to be joined by a Friday regular. Also get a chance to talk to him Sunday nights here on Fox Sports Radio with Arnie Spanier. Our buddy Todd Furman is in the house. What's going on this Friday in Vegas, Todd? How's life?
Life is good, but I'd be doing a little better, Plank, if somehow I had a matchup bet. Betting against Dustin Johnson just happened to be backing Rory McIlroy. I had no idea in my wildest dreams that DJ would miss the cut, and I would still find a way to lose my wager.
Me neither. Now, listen, I'm glad you led with that, because that's my first question. What has been the – and I don't, you know, specifics, but what's the handle been like? Have you seen a lot of action on the Masters? Are you hearing a lot of buzz about people wanting to wager on it here in 2021?
You know, the Masters is always going to be a popular event, and part of the reason is because it's up on the betting board so much longer than the other golf majors. It's a much more easier to assess field, I guess, for a lack of a better term. When you talk about, you know, 85 of the top golfers in the world, you know, roughly 50 of them actually have a chance, compared to the U.S. Open or the Open Championship, where you do get some of those storylines and players that you haven't heard of that are very much in contention as you go into the final 18 holes. Tomorrow and Sunday are going to be tremendous to watch, though, because when you talk about big names, they're all right there. And I think when you have the likes of Justin Thomas, you have Jordan Spieth very much in the mix, and you have a guy who's bursting onto the scene that the household casual fan doesn't know about in Will Zalatoris, it's going to make for some fun golf. We'll see if Justin Rose can finally close the deal, something he hasn't been able to do in previous Masters installments.
Todd, this is Steve. A question about the NBA, because this year we have full-on those play-in games, a different format. It will have first, before the bulk of the conference gets playing in the postseason in May, we'll have ninth place against 10th place and 7th place against 8th in the standings. How does that affect odds of who's going to make the playoffs? How is that taken into consideration? Does a team that finishes 10th and get into a play-in game, are they considered to have made the playoffs?
It does change a little bit of the dynamic, and to be honest, Steve, books have struggled with that as far as the yes-nos to make the postseason. They don't see those play-in games as it stands right now as being one of the eight teams to truly be in the postseason. So I think we're going to have to see those games play out, and ultimately when we know who the Utah Jazz will match up with in the 1-8 game, should that be the series that we see, and of course in the Eastern Conference, who would complain if we got to see the Celtics and the Knicks battle for the bottom of the playoff picture there? And you had teams like the Pacers and Bulls. I give the NBA credit because it gets more teams involved. It opens up the opportunity in that window for some teams to be in the mix. But at the same time, let's not kid ourselves. This isn't going to be a play-in game NCAA tournament style where the UCLA Bruins and NBA equivalent are suddenly fighting in the Eastern or Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and how hard is that to truly handicap, Todd, because of the injury situation and not knowing exactly when guys are going to come back? And I think we're specifically talking here about Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but has this made it any more challenging to handicap the rest of the NBA season?
Books haven't blinked, and that's the honest reality. They haven't moved the Lakers' odds whatsoever. We've seen them drift out a touch from right around 3-1 at FanDuel into that 3.5 range, but they're not going to move much more, because I think when you look at the standings, no one sees this Lakers team in its full construct when everybody is healthy as the fifth best team in the Western Conference. And when you look at their upcoming schedule, I think it's going to be fascinating to figure out where the Lakers ultimately fall, because if you're the Denver Nuggets sitting four, the Clippers three, or the Suns two, or the Jazz one, is it really a reward for a good regular season if you happen to get a Lakers team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the first round? So we may have a lot more intrigue early on in the postseason than we normally do, where it just feels like a formality that every series is decided in four or five games. You get the occasional one that goes the distance in seven, but typically why the NHL early rounds are a lot more fascinating than what we get in the association.
Todd, while we have the different format this year for the NBA playoffs, well, a continuation of last year, really, we have a continuation of the baseball rule in the extra inning of starting a man at second base. I'm watching it as we speak tonight. The Reds went to the 10th inning. They started a guy on second base. He scored. The opponent, Arizona, in the bottom of the 10th, got to start with a guy at second base. They have bases loaded, two outs in the 10th. It's making for higher scoring extra innings. So how does Vegas adjust to this? Granted, we got a look at it last year, but I know soccer bets, for example, they don't take shootouts overtime a lot of times into play. How does it work with baseball, because you're getting more runs in your total by the end?
Unfortunately, in baseball, it does play a role in the total. And for every underbetter out there, when the game goes to extra innings, that's when you decide to turn off the TV, you go watch Netflix, and you pray to the gambling gods that you're only going to see 1 to 2 run max come across home plate. But in reality, if the game goes to extra innings under the current rules, it's not a good situation for any underbetter. And that's the thing, that you can't really change your handicap. You just have to hope that the game will be over after you see 27 outs on both sides. In this kind of situation between the Reds and Diamondbacks, thankfully, that outcome was long since decided, so you didn't have to sweat that nearly as much. It does make for a little bit more intrigue when you get to extra innings, but ultimately, I'm going to be thrilled when Major League Baseball comes to its senses and we go back to the old-fashioned traditional variety where you have to actually earn every run you're going to score despite going past 9 innings.
And Chris, they did just leave bases loaded, so the Diamondbacks lost 6-5 and 10 to the Reds. And Todd's right. They're going to have to negotiate a lot of things, including the DH rule in the new labor contract after this year.
Oh, now that's something I'm intrigued with. Now, I know that this is a sharp right turn, but I'm going to jump to the NFL. Todd, are we starting to see those draft props heat up much, or still a couple days away from that?
Nope, the draft market is starting to take shape a little bit. If you want to bet Trevor Lawrence to be the number one overall pick in the draft, you have to put a substantial amount of money to make a little. And a similar situation unfolding with the New York Jets, who appear to be a formality to be a landing spot for BYU's Zach Wilson. Now, where we start to see a little bit of intrigue is with the third overall pick, where at this time last week, Mac Jones was actually an underdog to end up as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Now that narrative has changed. You have to put up more than $2 to make a dollar coming back, which kind of kicks the can on down the road and starts the questions, who will be the fourth pick in the draft? If you believe the Falcons are going to hang on to their spot, I think logic would tell you that it's going to be Kyle Pitts. But at the same time, if you're Atlanta, why not try and at least negotiate and see if you can trade down for someone that may be enamored with the likes of Justin Fields or Trey Lance? Could definitely be a very interesting scenario to play out if we have quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and maybe fourth overall, as we know the premium placed on that position.
Are there strange things with odds for the NFL draft outside of round one, you know, like Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick, or, you know, total picks from a conference in all 7 rounds, or strange things outside of the first round, first day?
You do get to see some of those props that'll pop up. My favorite is, will the last pick in the draft be an offensive or defensive player? And Steve, if you have an inside track to handicap that, please let me know, because that's one that really feels much akin to flipping the coin for heads or tails on the Super Bowl. But you will see more specific stuff, especially in regards to various conferences and where some of the marquee names will go that may not be first round picks, but those names that we've grown accustomed to making an impact on the college football field. One player that will not be available will be the homeless man at USC that somehow found a way to crash spring practice. I don't think he's going to be draft eligible, but there is always a chance that Arnie Spanier's Dolphins may want to select him in the first round.
That bet on offensive or defensive player for the last pick reminds me of the Jonas NASCAR bets, or odd or even number of the car. That's pretty much flipping the coin.
You know what the funny part about it is? The odd or even number, you can actually handicap a little bit when you go through based on the track and figure out that some of the better drivers in the sport are all in even car numbers. I remember that prop 3 or 4 years ago, before bookmakers paid attention, that you could give yourself a little bit of an edge. Now it's a lot different, and it is unique when you watch a NASCAR race and you realize, wait a second, I have to put up $2.10 to bet the even car driver to win the race, and you're going to give me plus 170 on the odd car driver. It just goes to show that as soon as you find an opportunity in the betting market to exploit, someone's out there to try and take away the parade.
Todd, final thought, we'll let you go. How much are you paying attention? Well, everyone's paying attention to the Deshaun Watson saga. I don't know how much you were thinking about looking at the Texans' future, but from that perspective, what is it doing to like a win total in 2020? 2021? Is it changing much? Is it kind of off the board right now? How are we handling that?
You're going to see odds makers wait quite a bit before they do anything with the Houston Texans. And a lot of spots, FanDuel included, you can't even bet who you think will win the AFC South because of the Watson factor. Clearly, if he's not available and Tyrod Taylor becomes their starting quarterback, you're talking about a team that had an uphill battle to begin with, get even more daunting. So any team that the Texans will play, it'll impact their win total as well. And while we've seen some shops, it's very low limits out there. Professional bettors aren't going to tip their hand in terms of who they think is going to exceed oddsmakers' expectations and who they think will underwhelm in the 2021 season.
Good stuff as always, Todd. Hope we get to talk on Sunday night. Have a great weekend, buddy. We appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, gents. You do the same.
Great stuff as always. Todd Furman, FS1's Fox Bet Live. He is the star of that show. I wanted to wrap up a little baseball talk tonight with the two moments from that game today at Dodger Stadium that really kind of caught my heart, tugged on the heartstrings a little bit, like Laura Lasorda talking about her father. Of course, we lost Tommy during the offseason, the Dodger legend, the great former Dodger. I mean, listen, we don't have to tell you about the greatness of the managerial plight of Tommy Lasorda, but his daughter was there giving the championship ring to Dave Roberts.
Opening day at Dodger Stadium was my father's favorite day. He looked forward to it each and every year. Rest assured, he's smiling today, and his spirit is with each and every one of us.
And then, of course, the Dodgers went out, had a, I guess you could say, a pseudo pitcher's duel. And as Steve mentioned, it was Justin Turner.
The 1-0. Turner with a fly ball to left center field. Heading back as Robles to the wall, and it is gone! A home run!
Do you think there's something more to Kenley Jansen not closing? Here's what Dave Roberts said.
With Kenley, today would have been 3 or 4, so we talked about it before the game, wanted to stay away from him, and he's in the same bucket with all of our other pitchers, you know, and players, just managing workload and understanding, appreciating. We got a long season ahead of us.
He can get away with that because all of those things are true. It is odd that you don't use your closer in a 1-0 game at your home opener when there was an off day yesterday. But yes, can he get away with that? Yes. Keep in mind that he didn't close out the NLCS and he didn't close out the World Series. Julio Urias, who's now in the starting rotation, closed out each of those games. Kenley Jansen, by the way, last season in September had an ERA of 6.5.
Wow. And just blew a save in their loss to the A's the other night. Meanwhile, I don't really know how to smoothly right turn to the Masters here, but if you look at the leaderboard, it's still one Justin Rose atop the leaderboard. Here was Rose after his round earlier today.
I still couldn't wait for the gun to go off on Thursday, if that makes any sense. You know, I've been hyping myself up for this, though, for 2 weeks. You know, I could have played the match play. I could have played Valspar, but I chose not to because I wanted to be ready for this golf tournament. So, yeah, I wasn't ready to play from a golf sharpness point of view, but I've been putting all of my energy into getting ready to play.
And then one more quick point on the Masters, Steve. It's almost become, not, and no offense to Justin Rose, I'm sure he was.
Who's had injury, as I recall.
This. Right. He's been battling a finger injury. But this is more about who's not around during the weekend, like, say, Dustin Johnson.
Obviously, it's, you know, a lot less stressful walks, but still, obviously, you know, I wanted to be around for the weekend. I like this golf course. I feel like I play it very well. Just, you know, this week I just didn't putt very good. It was pretty simple.
Yeah, there Sergio Garcia, Mike Weir, among others.
When Phil Mickelson made the cut and you didn't, that's really, really a bad sign for the weekend. Yeah. Nothing against Phil Mickelson, but he should be on the seniors tour on most weekends.
That's right.
And yet here he is, right at the cut line, three over. He'll still be golfing this weekend.
I don't know, and maybe this is just a me thing. I don't know if there is people in the golf world that look at it and say, "Oh, hey, we've got the names like Rory McIlroy who aren't there, and we've got names like Dustin Johnson who are out," or if they just look at it
Brooks
and say,
Koepka
"Oh,
is out.
Brooks Koepka is out," or do they just look at it and say, "Oh, it's the Masters, so people are going to watch regardless." That's kind of the thing for me, Steve, that I just don't know. I don't know. Oh, my gosh, we got to wrap. We got one more segment left.
I assume
I assume they'll watch, too. Diehard golf fans will. I don't know if it will bring in everyone. So when we come back, we'll put a wrap on this Friday edition. Get you ready for Jonas, who's back this weekend right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment for us before Jonas is back in tonight here on Fox Sports Radio. A reminder to be safe around train tracks. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NISTA. You know what? I got to tell you something, Steve DeSager. This has been fun tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I jumped right. Did I say NISTA? NHTSA, excuse me. It's been a long night. Getting to hang out with you, first and foremost. People probably don't realize this, but there was a time back in the day where you and I were just getting ready to go on the air
together.
And we had the overnight show. Now, you know, we get to go to bed a little bit earlier, but we're available any shift.
It would be literally right now, 11 p.m. Pacific time on a Friday.
Yeah, and we do 1 to 5 every Friday night into
Central.
Saturday and Saturday night into Sunday. So it's been kind of cool. It's been like a flashback night, but it's been so unique because here we have the Masters going on, and we've barely even talked about it because we had a no-hitter thrown by the Padres for the first time in their history. Then we got the Deshaun Watson saga that dives into it. And it's funny because I don't think I'm into the Masters, Steve. I love watching it. I love Augusta. I love watching players tackle the course.
They have names near the top. It's not a bunch of unknowns.
Yeah. Maybe I'm all in on Dustin Johnson. Maybe it's because I'm still kind of in that Tiger mindset where if it's not Tiger Woods, I can't enjoy it.
That's why your question before ending the last segment is legitimate. I wonder what the ratings will be for the final Masters round on Sunday, just because it's a non-Tiger event. But generally speaking, the Masters itself is the event, so it rates well year to year. Now, keep in mind the context. Sports TV ratings have been down, in many cases, way down the past year. Now, Nielsen, as far as TV ratings in general, did acknowledge it hasn't been able to measure viewing quite as closely as it might under non-COVID circumstances, but that doesn't explain most of sports being down. So here's what golf's had. When Jordan Spieth finally won a tournament again last weekend, the final round was 3.6 million viewers. The Masters last year got 5.6 million, and that was low because it was in November, remember. They didn't have a spring Masters for the first time ever. To my knowledge, the Masters final round has literally always had at least 10 million viewers on the final Sunday of play. Putting that in context, almost nothing that's not football has received 10 million viewers for a sporting event in the past 12 months. The last two Dodger World Series games on Fox each got over 10 million, and you can get a couple of college bowl games aside from the national championship. You know, a Rose Bowl would certainly get more than 10 million. But aside from NFL, almost nothing gets 10 million viewers in sports these days. So a legitimate question, will yet again the Masters final round get 10 million viewers this Sunday?
What's your gut telling you?
Yes.
I don't think
it's the Masters.
You think it will?
Yeah.
I think you might be right on
especially
that.
Especially if it's Jordan Spieth in the hunt or, you know, some story.
Do you know that's interesting, because I hadn't thought about that. And again, of the storylines that maybe we haven't dove into as much as we should tonight, that's one heck of a I don't want to say Cinderella story, but bounce back story, right? Mm-hmm. Here's Jordan Spieth, whom we had all kind of envisioned as this next big deal in
the golf
world.
Because he won so young, understandably.
I mean, he's
still in
his
20s now.
I mean, yeah, if I were to tell you that that Jordan Spieth is 27 years old, you'd probably tell me, no way, he's like 35, 40. Hasn't he kind of been out of it for a little bit? It's just, it's golf, man, and
First 3 years as a pro golfer, he was Rookie of the Year, he was Player of the Year, he won the Masters, he won the U.S. Open, he won the PGA. In his first 3 years on the tour. And the last 3 years have been largely silent until he finally won last weekend. He had gone 82 starts on the tour without a win until last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, last year at the Masters, he finished in a tie for 21st. He was 5 under par, which was his worst finish at Augusta. So he's played well there. But it's just he hasn't been able to put it all together after so early in his career being able to put it all together.
He missed the cut at the U.S. Open last year.
It's just wild. So I can't help but wonder if, you know, with my disdain and me not building it up like I want to, and I'm going to blame Tiger, I'm going to blame Brooks Koepka, I'm going to maybe Jordan Spieth being in the mix might be the spark that golf needs. DeSager, this has been fun, man. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll do this again on Sunday night with Arnie in here yelling at us, trying to fire us.
Producer Lee, I assume, will be here on Sunday night as well.
That's right. For Lee DeLapp, for Iowa Sam, for Steve DeSager, for Justin, I'm Chris Plank. Stick around. The legend, the man, the myth, the Prince of Darkness, Jonas Knox, is next. Have a great weekend, everyone. This is Fox Sports Radio.